There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
Thank you to our subscribers and members of our listening audience.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser is still in bed. This is podcast number 313, November 2nd, 2008. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast is brought to you by Yahoo Ads. Yahoo Ads get you the F1Weekly.com web server, the ads that interest you. From scooters to motorcycles, Yahoo Ads get you the stuff you really want. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. And of course, we always thank Yahoo Ads. Wow, Brazil, lots of talk about rain. We ain't got no stinking rain.
Well, when we were setting up the grid, we didn't have no stinking rain.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's qualifying. I thought we'd... it'd be downpours, and it's not.
I expected some rain during quali, but it's kind of nice to have, you know, if it's going to rain for quali, rain all of quali. Don't, you know, the thing that happened at Monza was a little bit freakish. But, no, dry, beautiful day, you know, almost cool temperatures, just a gorgeous day in Brazil for qualification.
Absolutely, very cool, and the electricity in the air is unbelievable. I mean, we've got the world championship on the line. Felipe Massa knows that he's got to get pole. Ferrari knows that he's got to get pole. And, of course, that still doesn't settle anything. Ferrari, I think, will pretty easily get the Constructors' Championship, but still.
I think they've already won it.
They have to get it this weekend. But, okay. You know, if they both kablamo, then McLaren...
All they have to do is score, and they've got it.
Exactly. So, you know, we have a very intense last race. And once again, this is the last race of the 2008 season. My God, this has gone by so fast, I can't even believe it. I'm still celebrating Fernando's World Championship in 2006.
Which you will probably continue to celebrate until Renault wins another one. So I mean, that's neither here nor there.
That's true, but we know that win is coming because that will be 2009, Stephen, as you know already. It's written on the wall. Trust me, I know everything.
Oh, okay. I was wondering what that was in French on your garage door when I stopped by.
Exactly. So here we go. Quali Q1. And the Toyotas come out first. Nelson Piquet comes out right at the beginning because he knows he's fighting. I mean, he's in front of his people. He's fighting for his job. He's already announced that Grosjean is possibly the replacement for his seat, and he's babbling about, oh, you know, they're going to go for a French guy. Come on, Nelson.
Dude, if you'd shown any speed in the car this season, they wouldn't be looking. You have yet to outqualify your teammate, and odds are against you doing it here. So, if I'm Flavio, if I'm any team principal, I'm not keeping you for a second season. You haven't shown me anything.
Not only that, but everybody knows that Flavio could care less whether the guy's French or Japanese. He wants to see results.
Yeah, he needs somebody that's going to be, you know, since Renault's going to be fighting for the championship in 2009, according to our illustrious host, he's got to have a driver that can help Fernando Alonso win that championship. He doesn't do him any good when he's 6-8 places behind him.
Exactly, and it looks like it very well could be Romain Grosjean, as Nasser has predicted all year long, basically.
Yeah, and but that's not cut in stone either. You know, who knows? Flavio could pull in Senna.
I don't think so. I don't think so. We'll see what happens.
Or maybe you go get Nico.
And to be honest with you, in the end, I still think Nelson Piquet has a chance to keep his seat. He's had some good results, of course. This weekend, he's not having great results, but still,
Well, Fabio, he had the one good race where strategy paid off beautifully for him with a safety car.
Yeah, but so Fabio has seemed to softened with old age and doesn't fire people as quickly as he used to.
Maybe his wife, you know, likes Nelsinho, and maybe he goes and gets her coffee or something. So she's putting in a good word for him.
Keep up the good work, Steven. Let's go right to Q1. And like I was saying, Timo Glock, Nelson Piquet, Giancarlo Fisichella, and Adrian Sutil are out first. And it's interesting because these people, most of them, are going to be out last.
Yes.
And in other words, to be honest with you, I thought Toro Rosso would look fantastic this weekend. And Vettel is doing well. But they both, him and Sebastian Bourdais, looked to be struggling at the beginning of qualifying.
Yeah, they did. They were actually out for a short time. I think Vettel doesn't actually get himself up above 15 until his final lap of Q1. And then Sebastian Bourdais did a little bit better. He was up a little bit sooner, but he was dropping slowly towards the bubble and manages to squeak by. I think he finished like 14th or 15th in that first session.
Yes, but he does get by both. Toro Rosso's get out of Q1, and of course, our favorites are out. Adrian Sutil, Giancarlo Fisichella, and Williams is absolutely pathetic. Both of them, Nico Rosberg and Kaz Nakajima, do not make it out of Q1. They've got a lot of reorganizing to do.
Yeah, it's almost like they've stopped development of the car when the season began, because they've continued to fall back consistently. They've not been fast. They were actually looking halfway decent in practice. And then they get the Q quali, and it's like, did you guys, like, change cars?
It's bizarre, and I feel sorry for Frank, but Williams looks pathetic.
No, they're just not any pace. They're not really getting any additional speed through development. It's sad.
Yeah, and let's go to the other sad team, which is Honda. Jenson Button doesn't even finish the last lap in quali 1. He breaks down at turn 14. It looked like he almost just ran out of gas. There was no puffs.
I think he might have run out of gas because he was trying to get into Q2 by going as light as possible on the fuel and just underestimated it a little bit.
That perfume sprayer they use as a fuel pump just didn't quite cut the mustard.
Yeah, it's just not quite enough in there.
So there you have it. Jenson Button is out as well. Both Williams and, of course, both Forza India. Very big bummer. And it ended up like this. Felipe Massa, Kimi Raikkonen, Lewis Hamilton, Fernando Alonso, Timo Glock rounded off the top five. And the Toyotas have been looking pretty good. And, of course, Fernando looking
rather well.
As usual.
But the Toyotas are a bit of a surprise. They were both looking really strong in the qualies.
Yeah, and Nelson Piquet makes it out of Q1, which is sort of important.
Really important if he has any intention of trying to keep his drive for next year.
I absolutely concur. So there you have it. Let's go to Q2. And right when the red light turns green, both Toyotas, boom, out.
Zoom.
They are pushing and pushing because, like a lot of people forget, there is no testing in Brazil. And today's compound by Bridgestone is different because they've repaved the track. So
you don't really know what your tire numbers are going to be because the track isn't what it was last year.
Exactly. The data from last year is useless.
Exactly.
So there you have it. So Toyota's trying to get as much as they possibly can. And in Q2, Sebastian Bourdais looks really good outpacing Sebastian Vettel. With 7 minutes to go, though, Lewis Hamilton goes right to the top. Felipe Massa, Kimi Raikkonen, Heikki Kovalainen, and Fernando Alonso. And that seems to be the tight-knit group.
The theme. Well, they were saying that in the last session of practice that in the top 18 cars, basically excluding the two Force India cars, there was really just barely a second separating those 18 cars.
Yeah, I mean, the mid-pack is very, very tight these days.
Oh, even... And the back of the mid-pack isn't that far from the front.
Exactly. And for a while, Sebastian Vettel was being outpaced by his teammate, Sebastian Bourdais. And then right at the 7-minute mark, or post-7-minute mark, Sebastian Vettel leaps right to P5. He's getting to grips with the car. He's getting heat in the tires. And Timo Glock, fastest in Sector 2 at the 7-minute mark with a 36.3.
And that's pretty much a theme for Timo this weekend and the Toyotas, being fast in that second sector.
Exactly. And let's remind everybody that Jarno Trulli didn't get to the track until Friday. He was absent Thursday because he had a fever and he was seriously ill.
Yeah, so it's like, we should do that a little more often, Jarno, the way you're driving today.
Exactly, doing an outstanding job. 5 minutes to go, everybody heads into the pits. And at the 1 minute mark in Q2, we have Heikki Kovalainen at the top, Lewis Hamilton, Felipe Massa, Timo Glock, and Kimi Raikkonen round off the top five. And of course, what can you say? But in the end of Q2, Nelsinho, Piquet Jr., call me that when I'm in a good mood, is out. Mark Webber is out. And the real big surprise is really BMW not getting to grips.
No, their car seems to have just taken a nosedive since we left Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre because they have done so well in terms of development and speed. And Renault has just completely blown them away.
Yeah, I think part of what's happened with BMW is that once they were kind of out of the race, they basically went, okay, this car's done. Let's go work on 200.
Perhaps, and I think that's actually more true than they tend to really divulge.
Yeah, to let on to. Because they were talking a lot on the broadcast today about how much money McLaren has dumped into the car in the last 2 weeks just to gain a tenth of a second in speed, literally talking about $7 million in wind tunnel and supercomputer time to try to find, you know, just that tiny bit more speed. Didn't really seem to help them that much this weekend, but and I'm sure Mario Tyson would much rather take that $7 million and dump it into next year's car than trying to, you know, get a tenth out of this year's car.
German strategic know-how.
Yeah, well, I think for Mario, it's a little bit more of a long-term plan.
Absolutely. He's thinking the big picture.
Yeah.
He knows they have no chance. You know, there's no more world championship to fight for with Robert Kubica. So I sort of agree with them. Let's focus.
And they pretty much solidified their position in the constructors. Why spend the money when it could be better spent?
I concur, but once again, I reiterate that Renault has kicked BMW's bootay in
they
the
have.
Last few races.
And I don't know if Renault's been dumping that much money in the car, but they've been finding the right tweaks to make that
money
car faster.
They just have a little wine, a little fromage, you know.
And they have inspiration.
So there you have it. Out in Q2, Nelson Piquet Jr., call me that when I'm in a good mood, and I'm certainly not in a good mood right now because Flavio's going, you fired, you fired, you fired. And of course, Mark Webber, Robert Kubica, David Coulthard, and Rubens Barrichello, and that would be the two-legged one. So let's go right to Q3, very important Q in terms of last race, World Championship.
Yep, Drivers' Championship on the line.
Felipe, you know, the emotions, those Brazilians, you know, they just tear up.
They
tear up when they see my picture.
Yeah.
So you can imagine.
He's at a home track. You know what kind of amazed me was, a lot of races we'll see quali, the stands will look a little sparse. You know, some of the outlying stands will be almost completely empty. Brazil, quali, every grandstand is packed. Like it's race day.
The bathrooms are packed. The grandstands are packed. And the hot dog vendors are packed.
You got people on the roofs of the homes and buildings nearby trying to watch the race.
It's like Wrigley Field in Chicago, Stephen.
Exactly.
So we go right to Q3. The lights go out. And there's nothing happening. Nobody goes out. Everybody's like munching on munchies. And
2-3 minutes. The drivers have got their cold air hoses blowing down into their
cockpits. Yeah, because it's picked up a little bit in temperature. And of course, the tension in the McLaren and Ferrari paddock is so thick you can cut a butter knife right through it. Boom!
Who's going to flinch first?
It's exciting, but after 9 minutes, 1 minute goes by, a minute and a half, Timo Glock out first, boom, on the hard tires. 8 minutes to go, Sebastian Vettel goes out, and on the top of the time sheets at 6 minutes is Sebastian Vettel, Timo Glock, Felipe Massa, finally on a flyer with, you know, we're halfway through the session, but he is showing that he is El Machismo. He's doing a good job. 4 minutes to go, it's Felipe Massa, Kimi Raikkonen, Sebastian Vettel. He has found the pace. He finally comes to grip with the track. The temperature rises just a little bit on the tarmac. And he has been, you know, I'm very impressed on the Toro Rosso and the management of the tires. Outstanding.
Yeah. Excellent. Just and not only that, but that car has just come alive since Italy. It's just amazing.
Exactly. At the end of the 4 minute mark, Yano truly jumps to P2, and I'm just going, what kind of medicine did they give this guy? Exactly. Is it legal?
Toyotas must like the air in Brazil or something.
And it's a high altitude. They lose 8% of their performance at this level.
So maybe Toyota's found some way to manage to hold on to that 8%.
So I don't know what they're doing, but I think they're cheating, and a full investigation is onward. 3 minutes to go, Felipe Massa, Yano Trulli still in P2, Kimi Raikkonen, Heikki Kovalainen, and Sebastian Vettel round off the top five. Exciting.
Wasn't it Brazil last year where we had the cold fuel controversy?
It was cold fuel controversy, but, you know, whatever. It sounds like a good jazz song. All I know is everybody is focused on Lewis Hamilton. Who's going to get pole?
Yeah.
Where's Lewis Hamilton going to land? And will he be able to get the world championship? So, in the end, Felipe Massa and Ferrari, I think, do an outstanding job. And he's not running as light as everybody thinks he is, but he gets pole position. And believe it or not,
it was a real sweet last minute because actually, Felipe sets his pole time first of the group.
But he did it so early.
And we're watching this. We're going, he's going to be the first across. And
could be too early.
He did time it, though, where he could have got another hot lap in if he needed it. But then Kimi comes across, gets second. Then Lewis comes across. No, I think Lewis came across next and got second. And then Kimi comes across and knocks him to third. And then out of the blue, Trulli gets P2.
And we're not sure how he's doing it. He was pretty light.
But we also know that Trulli, I don't know what it is with Trulli, but he can get that
he's a good one qualifier.
Hot lap. Just nail it.
I agree.
The problem is he can't drop, you know, 70 decent laps in a row.
I agree. No, Yano Trulli is known for being a great qualifier. In the end, Felipe Massa gets pole. Yano Trulli shares this first row the first time in 55 races since 2005. Kimi Raikkonen does a good job, gets on the second row with P3. Lewis Hamilton, P4, which is fine. If he finishes P4, he's the world champion.
Exactly.
He knows that. He's relaxing. He's got the 8-track player on. Jeff Beck in there. I mean, he is casual. And, of course, Heikki Kovalainen right behind him in P5. Fernando Alonso, should I say, is actually right behind him in P6. And, you know, everybody says, oh, Fernando hates Lewis, which is a bunch of crap.
No, you know, they talked about it on the broadcast today. He's friends with Lewis. It's Lewis's team that he's not fond of.
Exactly. So, please, everybody, get over it. Yes. I mean, come on. Let's move on. It's 2007. Everybody's still chit-chatting about that crap. Okay. Fernando's not. Fernando's going, hey, yo es el más hombre de España. So there you have it. After Fernando Alonso, we've got Sebastian Vettel in 7th, Nick Heidfeld in 8th, Sebastian Bourdais in 9th.
Which was pretty impressive because he didn't run a hot lap until there's a minute left in the section.
Exactly. Obviously, there was some mechanical problems with the car. They were working on it, and they finally got him out at the end of the session in order for him to get over Timo Glock, who was, I think, doing a great job this season.
And I think they stuffed him full of fuel. There's no way Trulli is that much quicker than him. I think they went to a heavy strategy, try to get him out, try to go maybe a one-stopper, maybe go for a long first stint, just to try to get track position through fuel strategy.
Exactly. So, you know, we all go to bed, we wake up, and from all the weather reports, and I'm not talking about the band, I'm talking about the weather reports.
Meteorological.
Yeah, it was supposed to rain, and it looked great.
Oh, it was when they started the pre-race show, you're talking about a beautiful South American day.
Sunshine.
It's getting warm. It's like in the mid-80s.
My shoulder makes me cry.
Mid-80s, high 90s. You're like going, okay, what rain?
It was 86 degrees, 95 degrees Fahrenheit track temperature.
Great day for racing. Until about 2 minutes before the start.
2 minutes before the roll-off, it just, somebody just went.
Yeah.
Weak.
Open the valve.
Yeah, full gush. And sure enough, I was impressed with the FIA.
Jumping right on it.
And posting the start to 10 minutes later.
Yes, exactly.
Which, because there's a rule that the tires that you're going to use for the race have to be on 5 minutes before the start. So
they basically gave the teams the opportunity to swap tires, because we're talking about a downpour that was like
a half an inch
in literally minutes. So now the entire track, just about the entire track, is wet.
Especially the front straight, turn one, two, and three.
Exactly. It's almost like the water runs straight down from turn one through turn two into turn three. Very treacherous part of the track when it's wet. You can even see what the wet weather tires that the cars are getting a little...
They're wiggling.
They're wiggling, yes.
Exactly. So anyway, so it's a 10-minute bump in the start, which was good for safety, because we want everybody to be safe. So anyway, lap...
So now we have the roll-off.
Yeah, we have the roll-off, and which is casual.
Yeah, everybody works
their way around. Everybody's on their medium wets.
Yep,
intermediates, excuse me. And they get to the red light. The red light goes out. And to be honest with you, it's a pretty clean start for the first four or five folks.
Yeah, basically the front half of the grid, probably down to about 6, 8. Pretty much a clean start. Not a lot of...
Sebastian Vettel has a really good start. He goes up two positions, gets past Fernando Alonso as well. Heikki Kovalainen, not such a great start. He tries to pass Fernando, and Fernando says, "Hey, I am the machismo." And he puts that aside really quickly.
He basically did a really good job of taking that spot.
I agree.
And in fact, Heikki does that to him twice coming down the end of the straight, because Heikki's got great straight line speed today, but he couldn't put him away. He would get past him, and Fernando would just squeak right past him by the end of turn. He'd be ahead of him going into turn one and behind him coming out of turn three.
Right. So Fernando Alonso, once again, el machismo, doing what he does best. But the big story was, of course, David Coulthard retiring, his last race, tears flowing. And I'm very impressed with David Coulthard, because at least he's retiring, well, I'm not going to say on a high, but Rubens Barrichello hoping to be signed for next year, which is, you know, it could happen, but I don't know.
I personally prefer David Coulthard's methodology. You know, he knows that it's time to go. He's enjoyed his final season, though I think he's probably finished only half the races because of little incidents like this, just taking out his day.
Exactly. And what happens is Nico Rosberg gives him a nudge. He spins, and Kaz Nakajima comes in for the ha-ha! Finishes him off.
The coup de grace,
and he was out. It was a big bummer. And, of course, all the David Coulthard fans, including Tricky Dicky, had tears flowing down their sweet.
Yeah, kind of sad, too, because David Coulthard's car was dressed in a special livery promoting his charity.
And a great charity at that.
Yes, was it Life? Something or other. Basically, they work with spinal cord injuries,
development,
and all that stuff. But just rough, because not only do they punt him, they both get to continue.
And while this is happening, Nelson Piquet spins, and we're not sure. First, we thought he was involved in this particular incident with DC, but in the end, I think he just lost it by himself.
Yeah, I think he may have gotten into a wet spot on the track, because they show one shot of him getting out of the car. The rear wing is just toast, which means he went backwards into a barrier. And that's all we saw. We never saw what actually happened to him. So, not a good
ending.
Probably not a good ending to his Formula One career.
Exactly. So, after all these little things that happen, the safety car comes out because there's some debris they've got to clean up.
They got to get David's car off the track.
Exactly.
It's in a spot where... You know, they couldn't push it off. They had to bring in the crane. So they're
correct. So the safety car comes out, and at this time, it's Felipe Massa, Yano Trulli, Kimi Raikkonen, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel, and Fernando Alonso running off the top five. The pits open right away. They didn't let a lap go. And I think it's the FIA thinking, you know, why are we keeping the pits closed for the first lap of the safety car? They do not. The pits open, and of course, the first man in the pits, one of those old-timers who knows what he's doing, of course, is Giancarlo Fisichella.
And didn't help his race.
Well, it helped it a little bit. For a while, he did run P8, but the safety car comes in on lap four because nobody needed to take that opportunity because they wanted to stay on the wet tires.
The track was still wet enough to not make it worthwhile to change tires. and everybody just started, so everybody didn't really want to play with their fuel strategies. They were actually taking advantage of being high, being behind the safety car and actually getting a little bit more distance out of that first load of fuel.
Exactly. So, good start for Felipe Massa as the safety car comes in. Once again, Heikki Kovalainen trying to pass Fernando Alonso. Fernando says, "Cállate ta boca." Yeah. I am en macho, and that's exactly. over with.
Hi, Heikki.
Bye, and on lap 5, Heikki Kovalainen is still pressuring Fernando, but it doesn't last very long. For some reason, Heikki just loses
Well, I think the problem with Heikki's car this weekend is that they didn't have any wing on him. So he's really good in the two fast stretches, but you get back into that middle sector where it's really turny, and he just starts losing ground.
Exactly. Kimi Raikkonen trying to pass Yarno Trulli on lap 7, and Felipe Massa puts in the fastest lap with a 1:18.559. At this stage, Nico Rosberg pits for dry tires, because now people are checking it out, and while Nico is pitting, Nick Heidfeld passes Mark Webber for P10.
And there was some talk that, because after the roll-off, Robert Kubica had pitted. People thought he'd changed tires, but apparently he hadn't. Because there was a lot of talk about because they kept looking at Robert Kubica's times to go, well, he's getting a little better, but...
But he's still in P18, you know?
And, no, but he was still on wet. Anyway, yeah. So it wasn't really...
Yeah, so we're difference. Not sure what happened there. But lap 8, Adrian Sutil, Kaz Nakajima, Jenson Button, and Timo Glock all pit for dries. They realized that they're going to be slippery in 1, 2, and 3, but the rest of the track is bone dry.
It's already dried out.
And they can make up the pace in those dry spots to offset the slowness of the wet part of the track.
Exactly.
So what happens after that is, and I was very impressed with Renault, as I always am, and I know you guys know that, blah, blah, blah. But on lap 9, Fernando Alonso, Mark Webber, Sebastian Vettel, they pit, they go on the drives, Ruben Barrichello pits, and finally on lap 10, the top teams realize we've got to do what everybody else is doing because they're turning in better laps than we are. So on lap 10, Felipe Massa, Heikki Kovalainen, Nick Heidfeld pit for drives, but it's still very, very slippery, and at this stage, Yarno Trulli is leading the race. Kimi Raikkonen and Lewis Hamilton now pit on lap 10, and I think they might have waited a little too long, and this is going to give the advantage to the early pitters. Finally, Lewis Hamilton, after pitting, comes out in P7. And everybody's watching that Lewis Hamilton spot.
Exactly, because Lewis really only needs to finish this race in 5th, and nothing Felipe can do will make any difference.
Exactly. And sure enough, by lap 11, the mistakes begin. Yarno Trulli loses it, almost does, it's more than a 180. I call it a 195-degree spin.
He gets all the way around and then some.
But, of course, Timo Glock and Sebastian Bourdais get by easily. So by lap 12, we've got Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, Giancarlo Fisichella. Early pit.
That
went with the dries. It's helping them, but unfortunately, he's got to pit a few more times.
Yeah, the other problem for him, too, is that once someone catches up to him, he does not have the pace to keep them back.
Lewis Hamilton is right behind him, Timo Glock and Sebastian Bourdais. Lap 14, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa with a 1:16.888. And Sebastian Vettel, fastest in Sector 1 with a 20.4. Second spot. Very impressive. Aston Vettel is really getting the grip with his track and the tires. He's doing an outstanding job. And Felipe Massa at this stage is much faster than Kimi Raikkonen.
Yeah. And I think at this particular track, I don't know if it's because he grew up here, you know, literally born 400 meters outside the front gate, but he seems to take it just another notch up when he's at this track. He just seems to be able to nail the laps consistently and repeatedly and not make really any silly mistakes.
Lap 15, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa with a 1:16.245. And right after that, Fernando Alonso, fastest in Sector 1 with a 20.2 second sector. Lap 16, Lewis Hamilton is stuck behind Giancarlo Fisichella, and he's got to get around him because that's for P6. Muy importante.
Very importante. But P6 doesn't win him the championship. Massa holds all the tiebreakers.
Exactly. So keep up the good work, Steven, for an open mind. And once again, lap 16, Fernando Alonso, fast lap of the race with a 1:15.416. And Lewis Hamilton passes Giancarlo Fisichella, one of the geezers out there still racing amongst the David Coulthards and, of course, Rubinho.
Do you think that Giancarlo will be back next year at Force India?
Yeah, I think he will.
He's had a good season.
They've got development. They've got a new motor, new chassis coming up with a deal with McLaren. Changing drivers is not going to help.
No. I could see them maybe swapping out Sutil, but that's not going to make a lot of difference for
them. They could bring in Vittorio Liuzzi. Can you say that, Stephen?
Vittorio Liuzzi.
Machismo, bravo, 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 bravo.
Or they can bring in Rubinho.
And to be honest with you, you know what I think? I think Rubinho will probably get signed for next year with Honda, but they should have a caveat saying that, you know what, every once in a while, even though Bruno Senna's a test driver, he's going to do a couple races.
Yeah, you're going to be ill.
You're going to be sick, and you're going to have that thing going on. So,
horse cuff?
I mean, I think it would have been classier if he had retired and waved to the crowds and, you know, the kisses and stuff.
Only that, considering that this is his home race to end his career there, it would have made more sense, but I don't know what it is. I guess he wants to get more starts under his belt so that, you know, his record is completely unbeatable. You know, that he's passed Patrese, he wants to put it, you know, get another step farther. There are guys who are racing now who could pass him just because of the number of races that we have every year, plus the fact that, you know, you get a guy like Sebastian Vettel who could be in this sport for another 20 years, you know, at 18 races a year is going to blow his records away.
Exactly.
And I don't really understand that because he's got a couple of race wins. You know, he's in the books. It's not like he's had a career like Nelson Piquet Jr. is going to probably end up having, where he races a year, never out qualifies his teammate. I don't understand the...
Well, you're still comfortable in the car. You're still, you know, you feel pretty good.
Yeah, and he feels that he's competitive. He feels that if he had a car that could actually get up the field, he would be a racer.
Absolutely. Lap 18, Sebastian Vettel with the fast lap of the race, a 1:14.916. Then right after that, lap 19, Felipe Massa answers back with a 1:14.772. In the meantime, Timo Glock passes Giancarlo Fisichella for P6. Very, very interesting.
Very interesting.
So there you have it. Lap 20. Sebastian Bourdais all over the back of Giancarlo Fisichella. So Fisichella, you know, he gets to the middle with the early pit. But like you said, he doesn't have the pace. Even though they're Ferrari powered, they just don't have that certain je ne sais quoi.
Well, that car is just not slippery enough. You can tell that it's a inferior aerodynamic vehicle just because they can't hold the kind of pace that most of these other teams can.
Exactly. Lap 22. Timo Glock, after getting by Giancarlo Fisichella, is now catching Lewis Hamilton. Lap 23, fast lap of the race, Felipe Massa with a 1:14.541. And Sebastian Vettel, putting in great laps, is now catching Felipe Massa. But Massa says, no way, you stupid German. He goes and does the fastest lap of the race on lap 24 with a 1:14.406.
It's about
25.
About this time that Felipe's team comes on the radio. He goes, he's going to stop 10 laps before you, so don't worry about
it.
Yeah,
he's super light and, like you said, not a threat by any stretch of the imagination. Lap 25, Heikki Kovalainen, once again, not having a glamorous race. He's stuck in P9.
Yeah, and he's not... Like, he's still throwing down the fastest straight line speed, but he's got so little downforce that he can't get through the tight parts of the track with any kind of speed.
Exactly. Lap 25, fastest lap of the race. Sebastian Vettel, super light, super strong, with Wrigley Spearmint Gum. And it's very impressive.
Where did that come from?
Yeah, dude, I'm just staying busy here. Lap 26, we've got Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, and Kimi Raikkonen, with Lewis Hamilton trailing right behind for the top five. Lap 26, once again, Felipe Massa answers with a fast lap of the race, a 1:14.161. Lap 27, Heikki Kovalainen finally gets by Jarno Trulli and Sebastian Vettel, as we suspected was fairly light starting this Grand Prix, and he pits. 7.1 second stop, excellent stop, comes out in P6, right behind Lewis Hamilton. And of course, once again, Giancarlo Fisichella is back in the limelight. Heikki Kovalainen gets by him. Keep up the good work, Heikki. Lap 28, Felipe Massa, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, Lewis Hamilton, and Timo Glock round off the top five. Very impressive, and I want to correct myself. Sebastian Vettel came out behind Timo Glock, not Lewis Hamilton. On lap 29, Renault tells Fernando, you are now racing Felipe Massa for the win. And
actually, they didn't say that. They said, you are now racing Felipe Massa.
Right.
They did not say anything
about
it. I
added the win because I've got to, you know, inspire
this
the troops.
Obsession with this team.
No, it's not an obsession. It's a fact. They are machismo. And Renault will be back in world championship contention in 2009. Lap 32. They tell Fernando that he may have two laps ahead of Felipe Massa in terms of pit strategies.
Two more laps than Felipe before the next stop?
Totally. You know what that
so
means?
So you got to close up the gap. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to leap.
Exactly. And while this is happening, Nelson Piquet is sitting on the side eating Twinkies and trying to figure out, wow, this is what really happens when people continue to race.
You mean still at the track?
Yeah, they wouldn't let him go.
Oh, Flavio told one of his race engineers to keep an eye on him, make sure he didn't sneak out.
Exactly. Lap 34, fast lap of the race. Felipe Massa with a 1:13.755. Very impressive. And now the lead between Felipe Massa and Fernando Alonso on lap 35 is 5.8 second stop. And Fernando is not starting to think about the host of F1Weekly.com predicting that he may win this race. And you know, he's going, wow, macho. So
what clairvoyance.
Clairvoyance. You know, we do text a little bit. So there you have it, Stephen.
Yeah, that would be believable if you actually text.
Exactly. Lap 36, Felipe Massa once again with a fast lap with a 1:13.736. Timo Glock pits 1 point. Actually, it's a 14.5 second stop. A bit long, but they're topping him off with fuel for the rest of the race. And they had a little bit of a problem with the fuel hose.
They had trouble getting the rig in, which is a little bit
odd. Yeah, they couldn't just get it in right, you know. And I hate having rig problems. It's just a big bummer for everybody. But he comes out.
Ruins the mood.
In P14. Lap 37, Felipe Massa and Fernando Alonso are now separated by a 7.1 second gap, which is pretty good for Felipe. Felipe Massa pits 9.4 second stop, and Fernando Alonso leads the race.
Briefly.
Bravo.
But kudos to the pit crews this weekend. Everybody looked like
very good.
Old, well-oiled machine, like they were doing demos.
Back to the...
The little bobbles like what happened with Toyota, but most everybody else is just bing, 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 out.
Exactly. Lap 39, Fernando Alonso pits a 9.5 second stops, and Lewis Hamilton pits as well with an 8.9 second stop. Keep up the good work, ladies and gentlemen. And on lap 40, it's Kimi Raikkonen now leading the race, Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Heikki Kovalainen, Lewis Hamilton, Yarno Trulli, and Nick Heidfeld. On lap 42, Heikki Kovalainen and Nick Heidfeld pit. Now standing job on both crews. And now, the following lap, the leader, Kimi Raikkonen pits, very fast stop, very impressive, 5.1 seconds.
The Ferrari guys were right on their numbers this week.
Exactly.
Ferrari's talking about going back to their light system next season, but they need more development. I think they need bigger lights myself.
I came up with a better light system than Ferrari's. They all wear sunglasses with lights. Isn't that cool? So they look cool on the camera. And it broadcasts the signal to the driver.
Yeah. So it should have just all the crewmen should have little light things around their helmets. And when it's time to go, they all turn green.
Well,
really
I'm working
cool.
with them. I'm hoping to get the lights on either side and then a big F1 Weekly logo right in the middle. Thank you very much. Lap 44, it's Felipe Massa, Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, and Lewis Hamilton in the top five. So Lewis Hamilton, casual race, no funny business, no craziness. He's in P5. That's world championship points.
That's
right
where he wants to be.
Exactly. Jenson Button passes Rumiño for P11 on lap 44 in Adrian Sutil pits at that specific moment. Lap 42, Robert Kubica pits from P15. And like we were saying earlier, his race has completely fallen apart.
Yeah, and he's not had a solid race the last couple of weeks. And it's just, would like to not think it's Robert, but I'm pretty sure it's the car. The car's just gone off for him. He's just having a hard time. Maybe he's, in his depression, he's managed to put those 5-10 pounds back on that he lost in the off season to lighten himself up for the car.
But Ron Dennis says that was all in his nose.
Maybe he had re-rhinoplasty to put it back on.
There you go. Keep up the good work. Steven, lap 48. It's still Felipe Massa in the lead. Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, and Lewis Hamilton holding on to P5. Mark Webber pits from P6. Lap 50, Lewis Hamilton, Robert Kubica. Lap, Giancarlo Fisichella. Shocking.
After such a great start.
Exactly. Lap 51, Sebastian Vettel finally pits 6.4 second stop from P2 and comes out in P5. Very, very good stop. Toro Rosso is doing an outstanding job. They should definitely get some kind of trophy this year for doing what they've done.
Or, if for anything, most improved for a team that
most improved, was I agree.
Consistently one of the two teams out at the beginning of Q1 to a team that's consistently getting into Q3 and consistently fighting for points.
Yeah, Sebastian Bourdais gotten into Q3 six times this season, doing an outstanding job. The team as a whole have really picked up the level, the bar, as we might say.
Yeah, I think that may have been part of bringing on two drivers like Sebastian Vettel and Sebastian Bourdais to help them elevate, because I don't think the previous two drivers got into Q3 more than once.
You mean Scott Speed and Vitantonio Liuzzi? Yeah, those were a bunch of goofballs. The problem is, Scott Speed was a goofball, and they wore their caps sideways, and they thought they were in the ghetto and shucking and jiving.
Well, I think that too, that when the team started, that there was a very big kind of party, laissez-faire atmosphere,
and they still do. I mean, you still have the Red Bulletin out there, which really is mocks everyone in a professional way.
Yeah,
but still, the Gerhard Berger couldn't handle that junk anymore.
No, and not I from his drivers. His drivers, he wanted basically focused.
He wanted professionals, and that's what he got. Yeah. Vettel and Bourdais were the just perfect replacements for these two guys.
Exactly.
So, and it's paid off, obviously.
Oh, huge.
I mean, these guys are impressive. Lap 53, Sebastian Vettel catching Lewis Hamilton, and it looks like a 2.2 second gap. I mean, Vettel is saying, hey, you may be fighting for the championship, but this is a race. And when I race, I pass people.
I want points.
Exactly. I thought it was very impressive. No sloppy stuff. And Sebastian Vettel is doing a fantastic job. Lap 55, Sebastian Vettel to Lewis Hamilton, a 1.7 second stop. And Lewis Hamilton, who, it's not all his fault. They've turned down the revs. They've turned up the stereo. I mean,
yeah, they're trying to save his engine maybe.
Well, they're trying to cope, they're pushing him not to do any mistakes, down the revs so it's dependable. And, he's like out there in a checker cab.
Yeah. He's starting to feel like he's driving a Force India car.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, sure. Vettel is going to catch him easily. And sure enough, lap 56, Felipe Massa to Fernando Alonso is a 10.8 second gap. So, they're telling Fernando you might be able to win this race. I don't think so.
No, it would be difficult. You'd really have to get Felipe to make not just one mistake, a couple of mistakes to be able to give Fernando the amount of time that he would need to make up.
Which is not stretching, the truth too much, because Felipe Massa,
it comes down to the fact that what Fernando needs to do is he needs to be consistent and stay close, because
anything can happen.
Yeah.
The Kablamos.
Exactly.
Here.
You could have another Hungary where his car goes kablamo late in the race. Or, maybe it starts to rain again and he has a bobble on the dry tires.
Yep.
Lots of opportunities in an F1 race to get make-up positions.
Lap 58, they're talking about rain. It's possible.
Before the end of the race.
In 10 minutes.
And we've got 8-9 laps to go.
Nobody's giggling anymore.
No, everybody's starting to look a little tense.
Yes, tense is the word. You could cut it with a knife.
Exactly.
It was brutal. Lap 59, Kimi Raikkonen is now catching Fernando Alonso. Fernando seems to be lowering the pace. They might have turned his revs down. You know, Flavio's a tricky guy.
He might have pulled back just a little bit, just trying to keep... I think Fernando was also taking a little bit easier because he knew he didn't need to push. He wasn't going to be able to catch Felipe necessarily. He just needed to finish the race.
Lap 60, Felipe Massa, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, Lewis Hamilton, and Sebastian Vettel round off the top five. And Fernando Alonso is losing significant time to Kimi Raikkonen on lap 61. And I'm thinking, you know, Kimi Raikkonen, you know, they want the dream 1-2 finish because they need it for everything.
Yeah, well, it benefits them in multiple ways.
Exactly. Lap 63, guess what's happening, Steven?
It's raining.
Raindrops keep falling on the track. It's pretty exciting stuff. Good. Thank you.
You should... Should work that whole thing out.
No, dude. The fans don't want to hear that. They just want a little bit, Steve. You can't overdo it. Then you're over the top. Lap 64.
As if we never are.
Kaz, Nakajima, Pitts, and Sebastian Vettel is pushing Lewis Hamilton. And I'm going...
Big time. And but the other guy that's jumping into this mix is Robert Kubica.
Finally, but he's a lap down.
I know.
But he can do some tricky stuff. What do you mean?
He doesn't think he's a lap down. He
doesn't think he's a lap down. But the problem is he can go wham, bam.
Yep.
It's pretty scary stuff. And luckily, these guys are professionals at this level. Giancarlo Fisichella pits as well. El Macho Hombre of Renault a couple of years ago, maybe. So there you have it. Lap 65. Nick Heidfeld pits. So what's going on is the rain is starting. And the people that can gamble the most pit first. The earlier.
Exactly.
Which is correct. Which Heidfeld has good experience in this because great finishes.
did him a lot
correctly.
Of...
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly. And what happens is all of a sudden everybody goes... you know how the light bulb just pops, turns on?
Yeah, actually, I kind of saw it a little more as like the dominoes.
You know?
Nick Heidfeld goes in.
And
so
then, it's Rubinho, Nico Rosberg, Sebastian Bourdais, Mark Webber, Heikki Kovalainen.
And it's kind of like the dominoes are just going up.
And to be honest with you, I lost track on who's pitting. Because, I mean, I can only write so quickly.
Three, four car increments. Yes. It's like Heidfeld goes, and then it was three cars, then it was four cars, then it was two cars.
And the big question for me on lap 66... Five laps to go. Does Lewis Hamilton pit?
He's got it.
As soon as you see Ferrari getting ready for pits, McLaren had to do the same thing. They couldn't take a chance because if the rain got heavier and heavier, he would just fall back so quickly.
Yeah. Well, we've seen what can happen late in the race with a downpour. You know, Spa was a great learning experience for everybody that... Yeah. A lot of those teams, if even with two laps to go, they'd gone in and gotten wets, would have finished the race better instead of... Look at Ferrari.
Exactly. You
know, they end up losing spaces, end up basically losing the race because their guy couldn't get around the track to finish.
Lap 66. Get your kicks on route 66. Kimi Raikkonen is the first Ferrari to pit. Fernando Alonso is right behind him. And of course, Lewis Hamilton pits. Sebastian Vettel pits. Felipe Massa pits. From the lead after Kimi Raikkonen. And on lap 67, and to be honest with you, I don't see how Felipe Massa got out and kept the lead.
I think everybody
pitted so much.
I think he had a big enough gap.
Yeah.
He was coming in while everybody else was on and out.
Yeah.
So he had the advantage.
And I'm telling you, there was a lot of luck here, and he should be happy that he won this race.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really say that.
And basically, he's both lucky and unlucky, as we'll see. In this race.
I agree. So lap 67, after the frantic pit stops because of the rain, we've got Felipe Massa, Fernando Alonso, Kimi Raikkonen, Timo Glock, who doesn't pit, stays on dries, Lewis Hamilton, Sebastian Vettel. So we've got Lewis Hamilton still in the championship fight.
Still in the catbird seat right now. That's where he needs to be.
And I'm telling you, there's some machismo stuff going on.
This is one of the most exciting last five laps I think I've ever seen.
Except for the F1 Weekly Company Picnic when I beat you in the three-legged race. Exactly. Anyway, let's get back to racing 68. The question is, Sebastian Vettel is right behind Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton still has to take it casually.
Yeah, he can't.
Vettel, he
really
can care less.
Yeah, Vettel doesn't care. Vettel wants to be in front of him, so Vettel's going to do everything he can. And we've got Robert Kubica coming up on this pair.
Yeah, he's slicing and dicing.
And he's flying. He's like, what was this car at the beginning of the race?
I don't know, but he got excited. And at the end of lap 68, Rubens Barrichello finally pits. Now, on lap 69, Robert Kubica and Sebastian Vettel pass Lewis Hamilton.
Yes, that was a sweet pair. Basically, Robert goes by. Lewis kind of gets out of the way just to make sure that he gives him enough room. And Sebastian Vettel sneaks by with Robert Kubica to push Lewis to sixth.
The whole southern hemisphere went up in a roar.
I think everybody in that track just went nuts because at that point,
Felipe Massa was world champion.
Yes.
The tears, the emotion.
Well, I would just, being in that crowd would have just been nuts.
Lap 70. Lewis Hamilton is out. He's been passed by two cars. It ain't going to happen. He's in P6.
But the rain is still coming down.
The rain is still coming down. And there's one car that made a very big mistake not pitting.
But see, the thing is that if he didn't pit,
then he wouldn't be there.
Exactly. We might not be even having this conversation.
Not only that, but Timo Glock added the excitement to the final
lap
in the last two corners of the 2008 season.
Insane.
Totally insane.
Because Felipe crosses the finish line.
Thinking. And I am convinced.
He crosses the finish line as world champion.
And they tell him, Felipe,
Lewis is in sixth.
You are world champion. You are now officially taking the machismo baton.
But.
Brutal. And agony and ecstasy. And I'm not talking about the story of Michelangelo by Irving Stone. I'm talking 2008 Formula One World Championship. The end of lap 70. The final lap of the race. And Felipe thinking he's got the world championship.
Well, Felipe's crossed the line. He's won the race.
The family is beginning to celebrate. And all of a sudden, while they're beginning, just the beginning of getting the first giggle, Lewis Hamilton, his opportunity is just handed to him in a silver platter. And the name of that platter is Timo Glock, who loses pace because he's still on the dry tires.
Yep.
The rain is just a little too much for him. He weenies out.
He lets up and
Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton pass Timo Glock. And guess what? Dun 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 dun. Not the appropriate song, but Lewis Hamilton becomes world champion. At that very moment, the camera pans to Ferrari. They believe that they're world champion until one of the Ferrari guys goes up to Felipe's father and says, "We are not world champion. We are just..."
I think he whispers, "Lewis finished fifth." And then his dad goes...
Yeah, you could see...
You could just see, basically...
The agony and the ecstasy
just,
right there.
Yeah, you just, brutal. You just see the excitement just drain out of him like somebody pulled the plug.
And the exact opposite was in the McLaren because they thought he might have just lost it. And they were almost acceptant
until they realized
he had passed. Timo Glock had failed, and he had become world champion by 1 point. So Lewis Hamilton loses by 1 point in 2007 and wins by 1 point in 2008, just as Kimi Raikkonen did in 2007. Outstanding race finale. You can't make this stuff up.
No.
Hanna-Barbera wouldn't be able to touch this.
Yeah, they were talking about Ron Dennis running through all the possible permutations of what could happen in this race and everything like that.
I seriously
doubt that one came up.
It was exciting. I enjoyed every minute of it. And first of all, I'm going to congratulate Lewis Hamilton for finally having the maturity and discipline. And Ron Dennis talked about discipline in these last few Grand Prix. And that's what it took. It took discipline and courage to finally finish and do what you needed to do to finish this race. No exciting stuff for Lewis until Timo Glock failed.
Yeah, until Timo lets up going into second leg. He's basically in that final long straight, going down towards the going up the hill towards the final stretch, and I kind of lost his nerve. It looked like he just kind of let up and stopped pushing.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another Englishman wins the world championship, and you know what they say. Every time an Englishman wins the world championship, we get a democratic administration here in the United States of America.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is, okay. Stephen, and that's how it works. So there you have it. Not only has the election been decided.
Congratulations to Felipe Massa for winning this race.
Not only that.
He did what he had to do.
He did.
And Lewis managed to do what he had to do. And
Kimi Raikkonen did what he had to do. Fernando Alonso had a great race. And obviously Renault has definitely picked up the pace. Let's hope they could bring that to the 2009 car, which will be significantly different. But also I want to congratulate Ferrari for winning the Constructors' Championship.
Yep. Eighth time in 10 years or 16. Something?
16th,
but 16th. I think it's their eighth in the last 10.
Yeah, well.
Those other two going to Renault.
I believe it. So keep up the good work, Ferrari. Keep up the good work, McLaren, for putting it all together in the end. And, of course, keep up the good work to Fernando Alonso.
Our final for the Grand Prix of Brazil. Felipe Massa wins the race. Fernando Alonso finishes second. Kimi Raikkonen rounds out the podium. Sebastian Vettel, phenomenal bit of racing for this kid to finish fourth. Lewis Hamilton's finished fifth, cinching down the World Drivers' Championship. Timo Glock finishes sixth, followed by Heikki Kovalainen, Jarno Trulli, Mark Webber, Nick Heidfeld, Nico Rosberg, Jenson Button, Sebastian Bourdais, Rubens Barrichello, Sutil, Nakajima, and Fisichella. After Heidfeld was Kubica.
There you have it. Another great, outstanding Formula One season. It's going to be hard to wait until March. I know it's tough for everyone. What I'd like for everybody to do is email me your highlight of 2008, excuse me, and we'll discuss it on the programs upcoming to fill in that void of no racing until March. Of course, we've got a whole new kind of Formula One coming up in 2009, so that should be exciting. I also want to thank the Jim Russell 2008 Rotax Challenge. I had a really good time speaking last night at the group promoting Formula1.com. Huh?
No. What? You weren't promoting Formula1.com.
No, I don't even know who those people are. But F1 Weekly was there, and we're going to be cross-promoting for the 2009 season. And we're going to have a lot of fun with this, by the way. So there you have it. I want to thank Adrian Schwartzberg for doing an outstanding job last night in organizing that whole dealio. I had a great time, and by the way, the food was outstanding. So there you have it, Steve. We're going to talk a lot more about this on the midweek program. Of course, we'll have our end-of-season program probably out in December. And I'm starting to get a little tear in my eye. It's over, Steve.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. Time to break out the DVDs and start walking back through them.
Yeah, you know what I do? I just watch 2006. Bravo,
of course,
bravo,
you're going to go back and watch.
Yeah, but that's the way it is. So anyway, send us some emails. I want to hear the highlights for you personally for the 2008 season and maybe the lows. And your thoughts on the new rear wing, for instance, for 2009. Hideous and ugly.
Going back to slicks.
It's going back to slicks. 2.4 V8s, which is what we'll keep. And we'll see what happens.
Should be interesting to see. Should be a fun season. We're going to have a new track on the schedule at the end of the year with Abu Dhabi.
Abu Dhabi, yeah. Possible night race, not sure yet.
Yeah, that seems to be their leaning against it. But for me, Bahrain and Abu Dhabi would make sense to be night races just to get out of the sun because of the heat.
Here comes the sun.
But, you know, I thought it was actually a good idea in Singapore because significantly cooler temperatures racing that race at
absolutely
night. During the day would have just been brutal for absolutely both the teams and the drivers.
I agree completely, and it turned out to be a pretty cool race.
I thought it was fun to watch.
So we had some good stuff in 2008, I have to admit. Ferrari had some bad luck with some Kablamos. Renault started the season on a low point, but after Spa really livened up. BMW on the opposite started really well with a win for Robert Kubica in Canada, but then went down. Of course, we had our maiden wins for Heikki Kovalainen, Sebastian Vettel.
So Robert Kubica.
I mean, we've had a great, great season.
And basically the emergence of Toro Rosso as a competitor.
Exactly. I mean, we'll see what happens next year. It's going to be very interesting. Force India could be a completely different team if they do get that deal with McLaren.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to be driving with Mercedes drivetrains next year, so that should be interesting.
Exactly, and of course, KERS.
Yeah. That should just be shocking.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, yeah. Let's see if people get shocked in the paddock. It could be just a lot more laughs. It
could be
people's hair standing up, you know, from all the static.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. So there you have it. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. Stay tuned for the midweek show because we got a lot more stuff coming up when Nasser brings us Motorsports Mondial and all the highlights of Brazil. Good night.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. Thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, recording and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.